This is Monitor 69, and here's the hit song of the Ziegfeld Follies of 1921, Secondhand Rose. It's an updated version by Jalma. Your host for Monitor 69. This weekend, we're investigating the pros and cons of cigarette smoking in the wake of the FCC's recommendation of a complete ban on tobacco advertising on radio and TV. And we'll also have a look at some of the restrictions already imposed on cigarette advertising and some of the problems of quitting smoking. First, though, music by Stephen Eady, and it's their latest, To Be in Love.
To be in love is to walk on the treetops. To be in love is to dance with a dream. Somehow love seems to know how to change the status quo. Suddenly lukewarm oatmeal tastes like peach ice cream. To be in love is to cry from sheer excitement, or start to laugh before the joke is told.
As bashful as I am, I'll need a million years to let you know how nice it is to be in love.
Sometimes it's awful hard for me to think of different ways to say it's wonderful. To be in love is to giggle and grin. And you don't really care if you go in anywhere. And it matters even less where you've been. To be in love is to find you're attracted to those stars children's toys are sold. And I started thinking maybe I would like a small addition to the family.
Then I achieved your goal by letting nature take its course and doing what comes naturally.
And suddenly I'm passing out cigars and telling everyone how proud I am.
To be in love.
To be in love.
To be in love. To be in love.
With you.
It's marvelous.
doubt about it. Your Plymouth dealer tells it like it is when competition can't even write it down. Did you know Plymouth Fury comes with class exclusives like torsion bar suspension for better handling, single unit welded body for strength, 7-step dip and spray treatment for rust proofing? Competition offers none of these features. Did you know Fury 3 has the biggest brakes, the biggest trunk, and the most rear seat room in its class? Precision, easy to read gauges instead of warning lights. Widest door opening for easy entry and exit. Even a standard electric clock. Get the straight story. See your Plymouth dealer. When it comes to a great car buy, he tells it like it is. And now, during the great Plymouth sale, you can buy a new Fury with reduced prices on such popular options as vinyl roof, all vinyl interior, and many others.
You know, cigarette companies used to like to get prominent athletes, TV and radio. Well, they can't do it anymore. And we have with us the man responsible for the administration of it. He is Stockton Helfrich, and he's director of the Code Authority for the National Association of Broadcasters. Mr. Helfrich, when a cigarette commercial involves an athlete, just what can be said and shown?
In cigarette commercials, we don't allow the use of prominent athletes. We don't allow people in sports activity that requires physical exertion beyond simple recreational activity. We don't allow sports props shown on the playing area of any sport. We separate spectators at a sport or product spokesman for a cigarette from participants in a sport.
Who defines who is a prominent athlete?
Well, that's a matter of a guess, I suppose, but if he's well-known and has been well-known in the public eye, he would be considered a prominent athlete.
How about uniforms?
Uniforms, we specifically rule out commercial pilots, firemen, military and police officers.
If I just throw some names at you, or occupations or sports, whichever way you want to put it. A cowboy, yes or no?
Okay.
He's okay?
Correct.
A rodeo bronc buster?
Unless shown in extreme physical activity, acceptable.
Skier?
No, unacceptable.
Even if he's not recognizable?
If it's something like a father and his child kidding around in the front yard, we might, if the treatment was mild enough, accept it.
What is the big reason behind these guidelines?
Basically to protect youth as to identification with the smoker.
What are you trying to say to the youth by using these guidelines? Not to smoke?
The guidelines, basically, if you would like, I can read you the actual wording of the code, which might help there. The advertising of cigarettes shall not state or imply claims regarding health, and shall not be presented in such a manner as to indicate to youth that the use of cigarettes contributes to individual achievement, personal acceptance, or is a habit worthy of imitation. The guidelines flow from that particular wording of the television and radio code.
I've never seen an ugly girl smoking. I've never seen an ugly guy smoking by my standards.
Joe, advertising generally always presents products in the most attractive light possible, no matter what category of advertising. And that is not an exception where cigarette advertising is concerned. But sports introduces a whole new element where the field of health is concerned. And it is for that reason that the guidelines get into the sports athletic activity area.
Mr. Stockton Helfrich of the National Association of Broadcasters. Now, we'll hear more from Mr. Helfrich shortly about the guidelines for cigarette advertising.
In a long white room, with no beginning and no end, with no calendars or clocks, we have time to spend. So we grow tomorrow's flowers in yesterday's pots. We age just a little, touch a lot, and maybe we're married and maybe we're not, but we're there in a long white room. In a long white room that maybe might have been a loft, but a talking's always hard, but the breathing. No one comparing, so no one.
one complains being there. In a long white room, in a long white room, and share what must be shared. We'll hide what must be hidden and air what can be aired. We aren't that sure, but we aren't that scared. We will grow in a long white room. In a long white room, in a long white room.
It may sound repetitious, but what more can we say after we say, no salt salts like Morton Salt Salts? Time now, 17 and a half minutes after the hour, and you're on the monitor beacon.
This is Joe O'Brien. All I said was fun, 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 and you. That's what I want. And boy, did I get told where to go. This is the place, WNBC Radio 660, where you get what you want. Joe O'Brien, weekdays 5 to 9 a.m.
Hi, I'm Bart Starr of the Green Bay Packers. Football's my game, not speech making. But I've got something to say about a little boy who lives in your town. He's a boy without a father of his own to take an interest in him and show him how to grow up properly. You could be a big brother to that kid. It only takes a few hours each week, and believe me, it's a rewarding experience. So call your local Big Brother agency or write to Big Brothers of America, Philadelphia, 19103. Thank you.
WNBC, Radio 660, New York.
Joe Garagiola here for Monitor 69. This weekend, our primary subject is smoking, which is very much in the news since the ruling 10 days ago of the FCC that all cigarette advertising should be banned when the current law runs out this June. Well, earlier, we talked with Mr. Stockton Helfrich, co-director of the National Association of Broadcasters, about what can be said and shown in TV commercials. Resuming our conversation, Mr. Helfrich, can you give us an example of what isn't allowed in a TV cigarette commercial?
We had one which involved an action taking place on a football field right down near the place where the men were sitting, and the product spokesman was right there with them, and the game was going on behind them. We took the position that that spokesman had to be moved off the playing field and up into the grandstand.
Was it the field or the fact that the game was going on that forced you to rule?
It was both. The field of action and the sport going on tended to confuse for the viewer, we feared, just who was doing the smoking, who was doing the talking. Was he the coach or who was he? And we felt to move him out of the field of action and away from the play would eliminate any possibility of confusion.
Yeah. this is Don McNeil. As host of the Breakfast Club for 35 years, you might say I've gotten around one or two cups of coffee in my day. As a result, I have some pretty definite ideas about how it should taste. I like my coffee with the smoothness that only a heaping spoonful of cream will give it. It's the best powdered creamer made. And for me, even old-fashioned cream makes a poor substitute for Preem. P-R-E-A-M. Fresh-tasting, 11-calorie Preem.
In our study of smoking and the control of cigarette advertising, we've heard the position of the industry and the advertising media. But how about the people who watch and listen to cigarette advertising? How do they feel about it? Well, to check some of this reaction, we asked students at Brown University and its counterpart, Pembroke College for Women.
I don't smoke, so I don't really care one way or the other. I think if they're willing to put out the money for the advertising, they might as well be allowed to advertise.
Actually, I don't care one way or the other whether they ban them or not, because I don't like television. But it sounds to me like the whole thing would be kind of illegal in some way.
I think it's the greatest thing to come along, because those commercials are the most obnoxious around, and they're, I think they're being well countered by the anti-cigarette commercials on, too. So I think a twin effort there would really be good.
Personally, I have a right to smoke. They may be harmful to health. They may not, but by the time that they are harmful to health, everybody will probably have a cure for it anyway.
I think it definitely should be banned, cigarette advertising. I don't think it will do much good to ban it. I think everybody picks their own poison.
As far as I'm concerned, I think they definitely should ban it. I think they should ban alcohol, too.
In all fairness, if they're going to continue to broadcast anti-cigarette commercials, then they should continue to allow the stations to take on cigarette advertising, not only because it's a great source of revenue for the stations, but to keep the equal time thing going.
Yes, I think it should be banned from the airs. It seduces young people into the ways of evil.
It'll be a relief, that's about the size of it. I mean, there's no ideological thing about it, but I'm glad to be rid of it.
I think the cigarette ads is part of the most entertaining part of television, so you lose a lot.
I think it's a good idea because the advertisements tend to propagate a cool image when you smoke, and I think that's a lot of the reason why people smoke.
That's how the college kids feel about cigarette advertising, and a pretty mixed reaction it is. We'll have further reports on the subject later on. Here's a monitor tip for the home handyman. If you're painting with either a brush or a roller and you find you've got to interrupt the job before it's done, wrap the brush, roller, and even the stirring paddle in aluminum foil. The paint won't harden and no cleanup will be needed until the job is finished. And here's a handy tip for the homeowner. Use a vice grip locking wrench to make hundreds of household jobs easier. You know, vice grip looks like a pair of pliers with a bolt in its right leg. And once you've used it, you'll wonder how you ever lived without it. You want to drive screws into hardwood or pull headless nails? Easy as pie with vice grip. Need a clamp for holding pieces together while gluing, welding, or soldering? Vice grip is a clamp. A vise, a wrench, a pliers. Need to loosen rusty bolts? Vice grip locks on with a ton grip and makes turning easy. Vice grip is the handyman's friend, the non-handyman's lifesaver. Get a vice grip locking wrench, under $4 at tool counters everywhere. But be sure the one you buy says vice grip right on the tool. Peter Nero with his latest Walk On By on Monitor 69, where you keep in touch with what's happening in the weekend world. In Western South Carolina, we're heard on station WCRS Greenwood.
What's happening around town? Hi, this is Jack Hayes, and I'm going to tell you. The Modern Day High School Booster Club of Middletown, New Jersey will present the exciting Harlem Satellites in an exhibition basketball game on Friday, February 21st, 8 p.m. at Memorial Hall, St. Mary's School in New Monmouth, New Jersey. For further information, phone area code 201-671-1611. The Reverend George Lawrence, pastor of the Antioch Baptist Church of Brooklyn, will be guest speaker for the annual Negro History Night sponsored by the Board of Christian Education at the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church, 230 Decatur Street, Brooklyn, at 8 p.m. Friday, February 21st. Theme for the observance is the achievements of the Negro past and present. The event celebrating National Negro History Week is open to the general public. And finally, the final Little League and Babe Ruth baseball registration for the 1969 season will take place this Saturday, February 22nd, for all boys 8 to 18 in Middletown, New Jersey. Boys should sign up at the Middletown Community Center between 2 and 5 p.m. in order to be eligible to play Little League.
Who's the best informed man on radio? Brad Crandall. Just ask him. Weeknights, 9 to midnight, on WNBC, Radio 660, New York.
This is Frank Gorin, WNBC News, 330, 36 degrees in New York and sunny. More than 10,000 longshoremen are back at the piers today after the longest and costliest strike in the history of the Port of New York. Working under a new contract ratified yesterday, 330 gangs of stevedores, more than twice the number assigned on a normal Saturday, are busy working on 140 ships stranded since before Christmas. It's estimated that $200 million worth of cargo is aboard the ships, including about 3.5 million pounds of undelivered U.S. mail. The post office announced today that all surface mail and parcel post will be accepted starting Monday for destinations in Europe, Africa, the Middle East, and the Caribbean. Police today arrested a sanitation department driver in Bayside, Queens. He's charged with attempting to make a number of residents pay up to $100 for snow removal. Queens was hardest hit during the storm, and many sections are still isolated in week-old snow drifts. Investigations Commissioner Robert Ruskin says Silvio Marcucci will be arraigned later this afternoon on charges of soliciting a bribe. Marcucci's co-driver was suspended. Sanitation crews are out in full force today collecting tons of garbage that accumulated during the snowstorm. They're backed up by hundreds of volunteer workers. A group of pro-Arab demonstrators paraded in front of the U.S. mission to the United Nations today. They chanted, U.S. out of Arab lands and support El Fateh. Police stood by. There were no incidents. The South Vietnamese, with the consent of the Allies, have announced a one-day ceasefire for the Tet Lunar New Year Monday. The Viet Cong previously proclaimed a truce, but the communist guerrillas today killed a hamlet chief in the Central Highlands and tried to attack U.S. dock facilities in Saigon. American diplomats in Paris are studying the semantics of the latest communist accusation. The U.S. has been called aggressor, imperialist, and neo-colonialist. The North Vietnamese are now calling the United States progress mongers. Violent winter gales are lashing Florida's Gulf Coast. This afternoon, a massive tide slammed into plush Lido Beach, flooding beachside homes. No injuries reported. 75-mile-an-hour winds are causing damage in the Tampa-St. Petersburg area. The White House says Willie Mae Rogers, director of the Good Housekeeping Institute, is declining her controversial appointment as President Nixon's special consultant on consumer affairs. There's been a swirl of debate over her continuing on the Institute payroll while working as a part-time presidential consultant. Today, Mr. Nixon asked Ms. Rogers to take a leave of absence from her magazine post. Ms. Rogers declined, the White House announced, and told Mr. Nixon that she had decided not to take on her White House activities, which were to begin March 1st. A Texan testified at Clay Shaw's conspiracy trial today that he saw a puff of smoke from a fence along Dealey Plaza's grassy knoll when President John Kennedy was shot in Dallas. The witness, J.L. Simmons, told the New Orleans court, "There is a row of trees along this fence. Toward the end of the fence, there is a small building. Just this side of it is where I saw the smoke." Simmons was the 34th witness called in the trial of the 55-year-old Clay Shaw, a retired New Orleans businessman charged with conspiring to murder President Kennedy. After hearing three witnesses, Judge Edward Haggerty declared a recess until tomorrow. The five admirals of the Court of Inquiry into the capture of by North Korea the intelligence ship Pueblo have toured a similar ship, Palm Beach, at Norfolk, Virginia. A spokesman for the Pueblo skipper said the tour gave the Navy Court of Inquiry an appreciation of the situation on the Pueblo. The five admirals left Norfolk shortly before noon today for the return flight to California, where they will resume hearing testimony on Monday. The weather mostly sunny and cold in New York this afternoon. The high is 30 to 35. Clear and cold tonight. Lowest around 20 in the city and in the teens in the suburbs. It will be mostly sunny and continued cold tomorrow with a high again in the mid-30s. Right now it's 36 degrees and sunny in New York. And again, the top story, more than 10,000 longshoremen are back at the piers today after the longest and costliest strike in the history of Port of New York. Frank Gorin, WNBC News, now back to Monitor.
Right, here's Monitor, and I'm your host, Joe Garagiola. Say, if you've been following sports, I don't have to tell you, there's a lot going on these days. You know, baseball keeps talking about a new image, and now they have a new commissioner, and maybe a new manager at Washington. And the Needlers have really come out, and they've started. You know, about this new image, the new commissioner's name is Bowie Kuhn. And the Needlers are saying, that's great, baseball changes the image by picking a guy named after a knife in a racetrack. And if Ted Williams gets the job at Washington, he could be the first manager to have a hitting coach, a pitching coach, and a spitting coach. And I'm going to get a diction coach. And Vince Lombardi's over at Washington. You may have learned, or if you haven't, we're unaware where you've been, that he left Green Bay to join Washington. And the football players are saying that the Redskin players will learn that Lombardi doesn't have an ulcer, but it's a cinch he's a carrier. Here's Paul Anka with a romantic ballad. Good night, my love.
Good night, my love. Pleasant dreams and sleep tight, my love. May tomorrow be sunny and warm and bring you closer to me.
This is Marilyn May with the one and only Ella Fitzgerald singing my Lincoln Mercury song. This is a first.
Will everyone here kindly step to the rear and let a winner
exciting marquee. It's pure luxury. Drive one of these when a marquee is lush. Handsome, roomy, and plush in a continental way. It's stunning design, really set 69. It's the hottest new line of today. Marquee makes it clear we've got the winners this year. Lincoln Mercury leads us.
Thanks, Ella Fitzgerald. It's a great way to tell everybody about Marquee, the most beautiful thing that ever happened to a medium-priced car. Marquee, at your Lincoln Mercury dealers.
This weekend, Monitor is doing a special survey on cigarette smoking and the rising controversy about cigarette advertising. Many anti-smoking messages are being heard on radio and TV these days. For a comment on their effectiveness and how they're presented, here is Dr. Joyce Brothers.
Only a few years ago, the health organizations, such as the American Cancer Society and others, were trying to scare people into giving up cigarettes. Those messages threatened death by cancer, emphysema, heart disease, and other illnesses for people who persisted in the cigarette habit. But the health societies found that their campaigns weren't producing results. In recent years, the anti-smoking forces have changed their approach, adopting much softer, less threatening appeals. And this is a result of experiments such as one carried out by psychologists Irving Janis of Yale and Robert Terwilliger of Douglas College. To 31 subjects, college students and older persons, the researchers gave messages containing either high or low-threat material. The low-threat material told of the dangers of smoking, but described the possible consequences in comparatively non-threatening language. The high-threat material, however, described the progress of cancer of the lungs in grisly detail. After the messages had been read, the subjects were interviewed. The reason the psychologists felt was because the high level of fear induced by the strong messages was too much for the recipients to handle emotionally. They would therefore develop psychological resistances. This can't happen to me, they would think defensively, and they would block out the harsh advice, good though it may have been. The low-threat messages, however, did not frighten people so much that they refused to think about it. That's why the anti-cigarette messages you now hear on radio and see on television are rather easygoing, interesting, and sometimes even amusing, certainly not harshly threatening. This is Dr. Joyce Brothers for Monitor.
That's the story on the anti-smoking campaign in this country. For what's being done elsewhere, we'll have some overseas reports later.
point is from Al Hurt, his orchestra and chorus, Scarborough Fair. And you're in tune with the nation's information and entertainment center. Or to put it another way, you're on the monitor beacon.
Something for everyone? Believe it. On the New York Hilton's International Promenade, like the old Bourbon Steakhouse, where the gang makes with those sizzling steaks, prime ribs of beef, and delicious drinks. Something French, mais certainement. How about the Hilton's place, Lautrec, for the answer? Authentic French cuisine and an authentic Paris bistro. And no général. Dance? Well, cut loose to the Joan St. James Trio in the continental setting of the Hilton's Roman Pub, where it's fun time all the time. But if you'd prefer something a little more on the intimate side, we'll take her over for appetizers and exotic hors d'oeuvres in the dim oriental splendor of the Kismet Lounge. It's all happening along the New York Hilton's International Promenade, Avenue of the Americas at 53rd Street. Believe it. See you there.
WNBC, Radio 660, New York.
Joe Garagiola here for Monitor 69 with music by Dionne Warwick. This girl's in love with you.
You see this girl?
Investigation of cigarette smoking has turned up some interesting facts. As we might have guessed, Americans are the world's heaviest smokers. Close behind us in the number two spot is England. And for a report on smoking in Great Britain, here is NBC newsman George Montgomery in London.
For 5 years, Her Majesty's government has been warning cigarette smokers about the risks. Most have greeted the message with a polite cough and have gone on boosting their smoking gradually. A little less than half of the adult population smoke, averaging 3 packs a week. Last year, the people of these damp, bronchitis-prone islands hacked their way through a record 121 billion cigarettes. If it reduces the cigarette coughing, it also reduces its tax coffers. The government's weak anti-smoking drive features posters, classroom movies, and other devices. Commercial TV has banned cigarette advertising, and there isn't any commercial radio. The cynics aren't worried, arguing that the government would never let its anti-cigarette campaign kill off the smoke-shrouded golden goose that provides so much tax money. But cigarette taxes are another matter. As part of a general anti-inflation drive, the government recently slapped heavy new taxes on cigarettes. Some brands now sell for as much as 80 cents. The tobacco men seem a little concerned that this may dent cigarette sales, that a thump in the pocketbook may be more of a deterrent than a wheeze in the chest. George Montgomery, NBC News, London.
Shortly, we'll hear another report about smoking from behind the Iron Curtain. First, though, monitor music by Engelbert Humperdinck, my favorite name. His latest, The Way It Used to Be.
Lonely table just for one, in a bright and crowded room, while the music has begun, I drink to memories in the gloom. Though the music's still the same, it has a bittersweet refrain. So play the song the way it used to be. Hello. And I laugh and hide the pain. It's quite easy to let go. Then the song begins again. So play the song.
Investigation of cigarette smoking and the control of tobacco advertising has turned up some interesting facts. We've learned that cigarette advertising is closely controlled in England, but hardly at all in France. Now for a look at the story on smoking in Russia, here is NBC News correspondent Kenneth Bernstein.
The official Soviet view is that smoking is an unhealthy habit. The government runs an anti-smoking propaganda campaign of sorts, but it's only a whisper compared to the campaign against drinking. Rarely a day goes by without a newspaper blast of drunkenness. Anti-smoking articles are rare. Since the government owns the factories which make both cigarettes and vodka, there may be some mixed feeling. But drinking, listed as a cause of crime and of production lags, takes unquestioned priority as an officially proclaimed social evil. Cigarettes are not advertised here. Few things are. When new brands of cigarettes appear, the news spreads by word of mouth, as much of the news does here. A couple of years ago, West German cigarettes suddenly appeared at the corner kiosks and were immediately sold out, never to be seen again. With Western cigarettes no longer available, Soviet and Bulgarian cigarettes are the most popular, along with the traditional Russian papirosi, black tobacco with a built-on paper holder. Smoking statistics are not published here, but recently a Soviet journal reported that the number of smokers is increasing in the whole world, so we may assume that means Russia too. While the doctors take the subject seriously, ordinary Russians rarely do. One exception is in the industrial city of Magnitogorsk, where they formed a non-smokers club to give moral support to those who've quit, a sort of Smokers Anonymous. The idea does not seem to have spread to other towns. Kenneth Bernstein, NBC News, Moscow.
Strada, Manfredo Festini Orchestra. Say, you may have seen an item in today's paper that has at least a slight bearing on our study of smoking. 30,000 people are reported to have received envelopes yesterday containing a valentine decorated with hearts and a small cylinder containing marijuana with the inscription, Happy Valentine's Day. Boy, it makes you wonder if there isn't actually an organization of some kind to create a bigger market for that stuff. But I tell you, whatever it is, it's pretty sick. Joe Garagiola here. NBC News on the Hour is just ahead.
This is New York City Health Commissioner Dr. Edward O'Rourke. I'm asking your help in a campaign to rid New York of a major health hazard, rats. Last year, more than 400 rat bites, mostly to children, were reported to the health department. Not reported are the countless thousands of persons terrified by rats in their homes, backyards, stairs, and hallways. The rat not only bites and frightens, he carries and spreads diseases. Rats thrive on garbage. Take away his food, he'll die. It's as simple as that. No garbage, no rats. A rat will do anything to get at food. Climb a 40-foot wall, swim the East River, and gnaw through cement. One thing a rat can't gnaw through is a tightly covered garbage can. That's why the health department is urging each of you to place your garbage where rats can't get at it. In a garbage can, with the lid on tight, and starve a rat today.